Okay, if we could call the meeting to order. For the February 22nd Environment and Natural Resources Committee. First thing, I'd like to move the minutes from February 20th. Representative Gardner, would you be willing to?
I'd like to move the minutes from our previous meeting, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Gardner. Representative Gardner moves the minutes for February 20th, 2007. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. Minutes are adopted. That's right, yeah. today we're going to be taking up the House File 854, the e-waste bill, and we do have several people who want to testify on this legislation, so I would ask that those who testify, if you could limit yourself to about 5 minutes, that way everybody gets a chance to testify, and if while testifying at the beginning you could state whether you're testifying in favor or opposed to the bill, that would be appreciated as well. And with that, Representative Saylor, if you'd like to move your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yes, I would like to move my bill, House File Number 854, commonly known as the e-waste bill, and I'd like to move that for your consideration.
Thank you. Representative Saylor moves House File 854 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Commerce and Labor. To you, bill, Representative Saylor. Yes.
And I would also like to move the A2 amendment, the HO 854 A2 amendment at this time.
Representative Saylor moves the H0854 A2 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted.
Well, members and Mr. Chair are in reverse order. Finally, we're seeing the e-waste bill, and I say finally because this has been around. This is its fifth year. It's another reincarnation. I would like to give some thank yous first to some of the people that have worked so hard on this, except I see that one of them in particular isn't here yet, so maybe I will save that until Representative Osman does appear. He did a great deal of work on this bill, and I wanted to thank him for so much of the work that he did, because this bill is very similar to what we have all looked at in the past. We've done some adjustments based on input from many people in counties and manufacturers and state government. So we've made some adjustments, and those have been reflected in the amendment. I'll just go over the bill. I'll try to be brief because, as we've mentioned, there are a number of testifiers, and their information will be vastly more interesting than mine. So I'll just, we'll go through the bill rather quickly and explain, that this bill is about really finishing our job, the job that we did last year, actually 2 years ago, when we passed the ban, and then last year the ban that precluded cathode ray tubes, or CRTs, otherwise known as dead TVs and old computers, from going into our municipal solid waste stream. We failed to get that accomplished last time. We're going to be looking at that again today. Of course, in the first page, we have just basically definitions. We will try not to use too many acronyms, but some may slip in. So I will just mention right away, if you hear the term VDD, you aren't in the wrong committee. This is actually about video display devices. And CRTs are cathode ray tubes. Those are the ones most likely to be talked about. And another acronym is covered electronic devices. So at any rate, we have set forth in the beginning basically every definition that was necessary. I won't go through all of those. We'll, in Section 2, we have a registration program talking about requirements for sale, where manufacturers will not sell or offer for sale in Minnesota these new video devices unless they are registered. Again, I don't want to read the entire bill through, but Subdivision 2, manufacturer's registration, where the manufacturers will register the video display devices with the state of Minnesota before they can be selling these in this state. We also go through all of the stipulations of that. Starting August 1, 2008, and each year thereafter, the manufacturers of the video displays will include registration submitted under the following paragraphs. We also have registration for collectors. And the collectors, of course, are the individual businesses or counties or other entities that are collecting the TVs and computer screens and other covered electronic devices. We also have recyclers registration because we want to make sure that the people that are doing the recycling and the collecting certainly are on the up and up and not people that might be just incidentally leaving things off in the woods somewhere. So we want to make sure everyone is properly registered. Section 3 talks about manufacturer's registration fee. And the manufacturers who register by August 1 of 07 and every year after that will pay to the commissioner an annual registration fee. And that was one of the things that was changed in the amendment, that fee going from $2,500 to $5,000. And following beyond that is basically the formula for how we determine the rest of the payment situation and how we're going to be collecting the information and also any of the registration, so that the manufacturers and the counties all know the ratios and the number of devices that they'll be collecting. Actually, it'll be, rather than numbers, it goes by weight, because we don't like to count everything, but rather go by total weights. We also will have It's based on, as Representative Osmond began when this bill started, just a little history incorporated with this. It was under a 1-to-1 if a manufacturer would register to sell one item in the state of Minnesota, they would then also be responsible for recycling one item. We've had many discussions with manufacturers, with the counties, with the agency, and have changed that from 1-to-1 to 1.08, which allows them a little bit more leeway, and we figure that that will still be adequate for the county.
Yeah, 0.8.
I'm sorry.
0.8.
Right, a small matter of numbers, 0.8. I was just supposed to make sure that if Ruka Vina was here, I didn't talk about 0.08. I was concentrating on that. Anyway, when we talk about also the manufacturer's reporting requirements coming after that point, they have to report by September 1 of each year, beginning in 08, or rather August 1, the weight of each specific model of video display device sold. And after the reporting requirements, we also have recyclers reporting requirements. August 1 of each year, beginning in 08, the recyclers also have to report to the agency. Now, the agency is the Pollution Control Agency. Their total weight of covered electronic devices recycled during the year, or rather the preceding program year. Collectors have reporting requirements as well, that report separately to the agency, the total pounds of covered devices. In Section 5, we have responsibilities. The manufacturer's responsibilities, in addition to filling out or fulfilling the other requirements, they have to annually recycle or arrange for collection. They're not required to collect them themselves, but rather they can if they are so inclined and that works better for them, or they can arrange to have someone else do the collecting for them. And they arrange the amount of electronic devices equal to the total weight of the video display devices, or VDDs, sold by that manufacturer in the preceding year. Now, the obligations of the manufacturer only apply to the video display devices received from households and not from sources other than households. There is a separate program for that already in place for businesses in the state of Minnesota. We're just talking about dealing with the household wastes. Recyclers' responsibilities, as part of that report, they have to certify that the facilities that recycle these devices, including all downstream recycling operations, comply with applicable. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a great little TV. And anybody that's worked with any of this business for any amount of time probably understands full well. Works good, free, take it, which seems to be pretty much what we see around the state, as you've seen up on the information here. But to continue, the recycler's responsibilities are laid out in Subdivision 3. We have the retailer's responsibilities, for they need to report the number of video display devices as well. The agency and the department, agency being Pollution Control Agency, department being Department of Revenue, the duties of the agencies or agency and the department are likewise spelled out. And one, I'll just mention a few of the things that the agency do as well are managing the account of the monies that come in from manufacturers. One thing I just want to explain as well is that the initial fee, it goes to the department, and that is for the agency, and as well as the department to some extent, for the state costs, so that this does not end up costing the state taxpayers any additional dollars. And any monies that are not needed for that part of it will go to the counties, particularly in the first year. Because what we're having with counties is a need to deal with infrastructure. Many of the counties don't really have any program at all right now. Their residents have really not had a good way of disposing of any of these devices. And we know that there are varying degrees of startup needs within the counties, and this is designed to help deal with that. The agency also will promote public participation in activities. They'll do that through their website and through some of the other programs that the Pollution Control Agency has in place to inform the public of various solid waste implications, and also they'll be working with the counties, helping them with information. The Department of Revenue collects the data that's submitted by the manufacturers. And there is review within this as well. The agency will review, the PCA reviews the data that comes in on the numbers, at the weight of the electronic devices, and also the amount of money that comes in from manufacturers, and will be determining and reviewing annually to make sure that nothing is getting out of whack, that things, that there isn't too much money in the account. Because that's not the intention at all. The intent is to simply make sure that the counties are not left holding the bag with regard to dealing with the solid waste. We also have other recycling programs, and that just specifies that cities and counties cannot require the households to use public facilities, because we do want to have as little state and county and local government participation as possible. They'll do what they have to do, but we would like to have this be more in private business. I don't know of any counties or solid waste departments that have ever looked at this as a business opportunity. They would be very happy not to be dealing with this at all, if at all possible. There's also a segment on a regulation of the video display devices, saying that if the EPA, the federal government, comes up with a plan, that will then preempt this one. And the point being there would be to have something that's uniform throughout the whole United States, so that we're not having a patchwork of state different regulations, which is what we have now. But in case they would ever get around to that. That would be a number of years down the road, we expect. But we wanted to have provision for that. And multi-state implementations, just dealing with establishment of regional organization compact to assist in carrying this out if necessary. Some limitations, and then the effective date following final enactment. I think at this point, we would want to, we'll start with some of the testimony. But at this point, now that Representative Osmond is in the room, I would like to publicly acknowledge all the work that Representative Osmond did on this bill in past years. As I said earlier, he and many others did a lot of the heavy lifting. In fact, they did almost all the heavy lifting on putting this together, and we're just basically making some smaller changes to this bill, but I wanted to acknowledge the hard work that was done by Representative Osmond. I think we'll have Victoria Reinhardt, the Ramsey County Commissioner.
And Ms. Reinhardt, welcome, and if you could state your name for the tape, please.
Yes, I'm Victoria Reinhardt. I serve on the Ramsey County Board of Commissioners, and I'm here this afternoon in my capacity as the chair of the Association of Minnesota Counties Environment and Natural Resources Committee. And thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for this opportunity. I am here today in support of Representative Saylor's bill, which is basically the E-Waste Task Force bill that was before you last year at about this time, which encourages manufacturer responsibility. And really what we're looking at here is a shared responsibility with cooperation from the local units of government and really pursuing product stewardship when it comes to e-waste. This last summer, the ban was placed on the cathode ray tubes and computers and televisions in particular was put into place without a program to support it. And what happened in many cases is that the counties had to step up to the plate and really assist their residents in providing for recycling, and in many cases, as you can see by the pictures that are up here, also to deal with the cost of illegal dumping. All of those pictures, by the way, are within the last 6 months, except for the one in the ice, which we thought was especially poignant, so we included it up there. But these are all within the last 6 months in Minnesota. One of my favorites, actually, up there, and I don't know that you can necessarily see it, but up in the corner, the computer that actually they took the cord to it and wrapped it around the fire hydrant. So I thought that was especially creative. But the fact of the matter is local government ends up picking up the costs for all of these things. We put together the survey, the county e-waste survey that each of you should have, and this was done in cooperation with the Solid Waste Administrators Association. You'll be hearing from John Steiner in a little bit on that, and the Association of Minnesota Counties. As far as I know, this is the first time in AMC's history where we got 100% participation. All 87 counties responded to this survey with information about what was happening. This is only, I should point out, for the last 6 months. This is from the time the ban went into place. And there's a variety of different ways that the counties have been dealing with this issue. But it's really kind of a snapshot. I believe that the reason that we got 100% participation was because every single county said this is a huge issue for us and for our taxpayers, because obviously that's where the cost is falling. Within the survey, just to highlight a few of the key points, 62 counties offer residents recycling either through their county or through the city or township within their county. 13 counties don't have a county-sponsored program, but do have an association with a vendor in order to provide for recycling. 12 counties do not have a county program or vendor access. Another interesting number is that 65 out of the 87 counties are subsidizing e-waste in some manner, a score, assessments, property taxes, and this includes the counties that do not have a recycling program because they're having to, again, cover the cost of illegal dumping. 63 counties with accessible recycling vendors are charging residents end-of-life fees, that range from $5 up to the full cost of recycling. And a couple of years ago, when I went to recycle two computers that I had that were not working, outdated, that I had in my basement, I ended up paying about $30 a piece to have them recycled. And that's, I think, pretty close to what the actual cost is. So if you're being charged $5, and in Hennepin County, they have a wonderful program in Hennepin County, but the fact of the matter is the property taxes are paying for those costs. 53 of the survey respondents reported some kind of illegal dumping occurring in their counties in the first 6 months of the ban. And it really varied. Some counties reported only one or two. St. Louis County reported 60 to 80 computers a month were being illegally dumped. The other thing that is really critical about passing this year is that as we near February of 2009 is when televisions will no longer be able to be broadcast in analog, so we're going to have the switch over to digital. And what that means is there are going to be a lot of people that are not going to take an old TV and do a converter. They're simply going to get rid of that TV so that they can obviously watch TV in digital form at that point. And that's going to mean an influx of waste that's either going to be recycled or end up being illegally dumped. We want to make sure, obviously, that the state is prepared for that switchover when that happens. As you review the survey responses, you will see that the solutions to dealing with e-waste in the state are varied. AMC has found that the approach in the bill that allows flexibility for counties and residents to have access to the recycling opportunities that best fits their needs is really incorporated in every aspect of this bill. A lot of time and effort has gone into coming up with what we think is a logical, fair, equitable solution, and we really are very, very supportive of it. I also wanted to note that Craig Johnson is in the audience from the League of Minnesota Cities, and he said in order to save 5 minutes worth of testimony from him that I could refer to the fact that the League of Minnesota Cities is very much in support of this bill and the county's efforts to have it passed through the House and Senate and ultimately signed by the governor. Clearly, doing nothing will end up costing Minnesota taxpayers a great deal more to either fund the cost of recycling or to clean up the illegal dumping after the waste has been disposed of improperly. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reinhart. And any questions at all before we move on? Yes, Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure if this question is for the author or maybe somebody else down the road or maybe Ms. Reinhart, but you mentioned the Hennepin County program. And in this bill, and I do think we need to do this, I think we need to do something. I'm just curious because I didn't work on it and I'm not an expert. If we're looking at collecting in this bill 80% of the previous year's sales, I'm wondering what the percentage was that they collect in Hennepin County or Carver County. I live in Carver County. I don't know. Would you happen to know? And if you don't, I don't want to put you on the spot. Maybe somebody else will know.
Well, I don't know, but I know somebody in the audience that does. I believe either Garth Hickel or I think I saw Phil Eckert here as well. Phil is from Hennepin County, but Garth has information from the state as far as on a statewide level what has been collected, what's out there. So if you would like, Garth
sure.
would be the
if you could
expert
step forward.
To be able to deal with
I
that.
I thought there would be somebody that knew.
Sure.
And if there are other questions for me, I'll be still in the audience. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Reinhart. And welcome to the committee. And if you could state your name for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, my name is Garth Hickel. I'm with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe, I will leave the question specifically about Hennepin County's program to Phil Eckert. But based on the analysis that we have done looking at the Hennepin County numbers extrapolated statewide, which we think is a fairly a viable methodology for estimating the statewide returns, we're projecting that about 21 million pounds of video display devices would be expected to be returned in 2008. That factors in the average annual growth of video display devices collected through the Hennepin County program. I do want to mention, however, that the Hennepin County program, while really needs to be recognized as kind of the gold standard for a local government program in the U.S., those numbers do not necessarily include all of the material that is collected from consumers and households in the state. So we feel like it is a fairly legitimate approach in terms of modeling what those statewide returns would be.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Hoppe.
And again, I don't know the numbers. I'm just curious. If we're going to collect projected 21 million pounds in 2008, how many pounds of these materials do we sell a year? Or not we, but are sold in the state a year?
Mr. Hickel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe, our analysis shows that in 2004 there was about 49 million pounds of video display devices sold in Minnesota. Based on that 2004 data and the ratio currently established in the amendment, that would be about 39.2 million pounds that manufacturers would have the responsibility for managing. Now, again, there's a series of caveats that travel with that, is that the since it is 2004 data and the level of technology change that is occurring within both the IT and consumer electronics businesses, particularly with the switchover from cathode ray tube containing products to LCD and plasma screens, it is difficult to project what that specific weight sold to households would be in 2005, 2006, 2007. So unfortunately, that 2004 data is the best available numbers at this point.
One more follow-up, and I guess if in the bill we're looking at, we're projecting that we're going to collect 80% of the weight of all of these materials that sold in the previous year, and we're not doing that now, and we're about 50% by the, you know, rough numbers that you just used or so, and I'm not going to hold you to that. I mean, is 80% realistic? I mean, is that based on other projections?
Mr. Hickel?
Representative Eakin, sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe. We are still taking a look at the numbers, as I mentioned. We're trying to get some better data on that split between the heavier cathode ray tube containing products and then the LCD monitor. So it's conceivable that that 49 million pounds in terms of overall sales to households will decline. We're also trying to get some better assessment based on what's happening in Maine and California with that have had existing e-waste programs in place. That may have some implications in terms of what the expected returns will be.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hickel. And I think what we'll do at this point, we'll continue with the testimony. And if members at this point, I think if we could refrain from questioning until after all the testimony is heard, because we do have quite a few people on the agenda. If there's something that you really are particular to the woman who's testifying, that's fine.
And you just heard Hennepin County, and I went crazy. I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine, Representative Hoppe. And I did ask for questions, but I'm just thinking, given the number again, maybe to make sure everybody gets through it, we'll just continue with the testimony. And next on the agenda, Representative McNamara.
To that point, Mr. Chair, what if do you intend to take a vote by the end of this session, or what if there's still unanswered questions?
Well, I would like to take action today, we can certainly see if there's some problems or some unanswered questions that arise, and we can deal with it at that point. But I would like to take action at the end of the committee today. So, yes. And the next on the agenda, we have a Mr. Jim Kordiak. Could step forward, please.
Good evening. I am Jim Kordiak. I appreciate your invitation today to comment. I am an Anoka County Commissioner. I have been for about 25 years and have served that community well for that many years. I recognize many new faces here in this discussion today. Some of you I have been involved with the discussion. Some of you have not. I appreciate that. I congratulate those of you who had elections and brings you here and your new committee assignments. I'm sure that you'll find this discussion to be interesting. And it's an important discussion. I tried to tailor my comments to about 3 to 5 minutes. People kept asking me to comment on other things. I'll just do this a little bit, maybe for the benefit of some of you who haven't had the benefit of the history of this discussion. There's been a long history on that discussion. This history ranges back in my active involvement in it I mean, I've been involved with this discussion for about 12 years, probably very actively. The Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board, which many of you know are the metropolitan organization that has a great deal to do with managing waste of six of the seven counties, initiated a Minnesota model where we began to look at the issue of electronic waste back in about 1995, roughly. Somebody can argue with me on that date. And we began to work with manufacturers and industry and others to take a look at this problem. The discussion goes back that far. At the same time, that discussion has been going on all over this nation, beyond. I was invited to participate in what some of you may know as an organization which is called NEPSI, the National Electronics Product Stewardship Organization, which tried to take a look at a national initiative to try and find a nationwide solution to this problem. We spent about 2 years or 2.5 years actively involved in that discussion. There were about 40 participants. About 20 of them were manufacturer types. About 20 of them were governmental types. I was the only elected official in the room out of those 40 people, which I always found a bit interesting. But it was an interesting and valuable discussion. The end result of that discussion, we came to no conclusion, nor drew any further to finding a national model. Maybe someday we will. We continue to talk about that even in this bill. At that point, Minnesota made a determination that we were still determined to get something done, and therefore we began a model. The Swim Club initiated, first of all, and we have many partners here today, secondly, who've now become more and more ingrained in this discussion. So today we have, the Swim Club has many partners, which I greatly appreciate. Maybe that's just a little bit of background in this discussion to understand there's nothing new about it. The issue that brings us here today is simple. It's about electronic waste. I don't have to tell you about the nature of that problem. I walked into a fellow county commissioner's office the other day. She was talking the cell phone in one hand with a BlackBerry in the other hand. Technology is all around us and all about us. There's a vast proliferation of that waste. This is no secret to you. We keep inventing and coming up with new things. None of those materials, I will tell you, belong in the waste stream. We manage a processing plant. Hennepin County has a mass burn facility. Some of you have compost facilities. Others of you have landfill. We're anxious to keep that material out of all of those processes. We've taken a step of taking it out of landfill. The problem is there's now no place to take it. So we really are trying to address that problem. It needs a solution. We offer one, Mr. Chair. To my design comments, that was kind of my sort of other, I will simply say, that this really is about the 2006 ban on electronics. And I will tell you that in my estimation, a ban on electronics will not work without an outlet for electronics. We need to find a solution. This bill, as I point out, does include the collective genius. I don't expect you to become geniuses on this subject. You have a wealth of information and years of experience that brings this to you. And some of you are chuckling right now about this, but there's a lot of people involved in this. We think, those of us who have worked with this for so long feel that this is a very good model. And quite frankly, right now with the ban, it's a homeowner issue. More and more people are becoming aware of this problem, and they find TV sets that they cannot dispose of. It will become your and my problem as each day passes. It's been pointed out that there are already models that exist today in Maine, in Massachusetts, in Washington, and California, where other states have stepped forward. There's probably 17 other states right now who are working on electronic bills. This is the Minnesota approach. Also, there's 12 countries in the European Union. There's 4 provinces of Canada. There's Japan and Sweden, and I forget who else, have recycling opportunities available to their homeowners. We believe that Minnesota needs a solution for recycling video display devices, and it should not be paid for by government. We certainly did not create that commodity. Why is it that government may have a strong role in paying for the disposal of that commodity? We feel that those who have been involved in marketing those products and creating those product materials for us should have a hand in helping us to dispose of them. It's called product stewardship, which many of you, if you are not already exposed to that concept, will be increasingly. We feel our environment will be better off, but we know where these things don't belong, and we know where they do belong, and you can help to create an opportunity to get those things there. Maybe just a couple of other things. We see this bill as being very government-like. Some of these models tend to have heavy governmental involvement. I mean, the return share model, which you may hear about later today, is all about heavy government involvement. We have tried to keep government's role minimal, and manufacturers who understand how to handle electronics better than any of us manage this problem for us. They can do it quicker and better and more cost-effectively than we feel that government can. And this model does accomplish that. We think it's a good solution. I'd like to thank you for your observations. I will stand for questions when appropriate, and I will make no further observations, Mr. Chairman. I've got years of experience, but I won't today.
Thank you, Mr. Kordiak. And the next on the agenda is Mr. John Steiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is John Steiner. I'm a solid waste administrator for Polk County and the current president of the Minnesota Solid Waste Administrators Association. I represent the 87 counties' solid waste officials. And speaking on behalf of Representative Saylor's bill for e-waste collection today, there's a few important parts of that bill that we feel are very important to making this program successful from county perspective. Number one, it recognizes and addresses the diverse needs of the residents in both the metro and the rural counties. The system would allow, it would be an open system which allows participation by the public parties, private entities, and even nonprofit organizations. It fosters cooperation agreements between all of those parties. And it takes advantage of some of the existing infrastructure that's available in the state, and partnerships are already created. This bill would create incentives to recycle covered electronic devices in Minnesota and all areas of the state. And that's important. I think most people realize that service is and would be provided in metro counties where the volumes are relatively high and transportation costs low. It's the rural counties that are more in jeopardy, so to speak, of not having adequate service. This bill would provide a means for manufacturers to recycle those materials by placing a target of one pound of e-waste sold requires them to recycle 1 pound of e-waste. Except for the first year where that threshold is a little lower, realizing that there's going to be some startup and implementation issues with that. There's also another piece to that encourages recycling in outstate areas, and that's by giving additional credit for recycling in areas outside of the metro county area. And this bill identifies an 11-county metro area. But what that does is saying that if you're recycling electronic waste from an outstate area, so to speak, you would receive 1.5 times credit for that pound of e-waste. To put that in perspective, if you have a truckload of e-waste sitting in Anoka and it has 14 tons on it, and there's a same truckload sitting in Hallock, Minnesota, northwest portion of the state, that has 14 tons in it, to haul both those loads in Anoka, the Anoka load, you'd get 14 tons of credit towards your obligation under this formula. The Hallock load, although there's some more transportation cost, you'll get 21 tons of credit for that waste. So there's an incentive for them to go to outstate areas and collect that waste and get that processed. It requires that if a manufacturer does not collect enough e-waste, or if they choose not to collect any at all, that they can pay in to that fund, and that fund would be used to reimburse a county or municipality that does collect that. And that's important if the manufacturer doesn't hit that threshold, or if the manufacturer chooses not to recycle at all. It's been regarded as a penalty. I want to make that clear. That isn't at least we don't look at that as a penalty. We look at that as a key component to making sure funding is available to those counties that aren't served or are underserved. The bill also has a mechanism to protect the environment. And one is the registration guidelines for collectors and recyclers to ensure that whatever is collected gets to a recycler. It isn't warehoused somewhere where it sits until that building or property forfeits to the county or illegally disposed of. in some of the manners you see in the pictures here. The other thing it does is it reduces the need for end-of-life fees. And the reason for that is if a county is being reimbursed or if a manufacturer takes that program on, that that service is now convenient. The resident doesn't have an incentive to illegally dispose of it. They're not trying to avoid fees. Again, that issue comes up, and I've heard those comments about end-of-life fees not being allowed, and I think that's an important thing to allow counties to do if they need to, or a city. There are different levels of service. There are different requirements for doing that. Just one example is a city may choose to do a curbside collection program. That would have an additional cost. It would probably be above and beyond what most other counties would do or other cities would do. And so there is also the potential that the funding may not be adequate, and their hands would be bound then to not be able to take this waste, to be able to receive reimbursement, and that would be an unfunded mandate. So I think it's important to make sure that we're doing the things to protect the environment, to encourage these materials to come in and be recycled. And in the survey that was handed out earlier and Commissioner Reinhart alluded to, 53 of the 87 counties reported illegal dumping occurring in their county since the July 1st, 2006 ban went into effect. And the pictures here, except for the one in the corner in the ice, are all evidence of that. So I guess counties do place a high priority on resolving this issue. It's come up a number of times. We're hoping to get this resolved this session. I think this is evidence, again, to the 100% survey requirement or survey participation rate. Without having a ban on these materials and not having a collection program that's coordinated and organized, we've seen services not available in some counties, high recycling fees incurred by counties, and just overall a headache and frustration for the residents and the counties and municipalities dealing with this. The counties are very involved in the areas of recycling the environment, and we feel we're going to continue to be heavily involved in this. So we strongly urge your support of Representative Saylor's bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Steiner. And next on the list, Mr. Marshall Johnson.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Cornish.
Walker, while he's coming down?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Saylor, the question I've got is, in this whole scheme of things, what are we going to do to keep counties or local governments from keeping on charging us? I mean, is there anything in here that if we, the manufacturers pay, we're going to end up paying anyway through prices? What's to keep from duplication happening in three different levels charging us? I mean, the counties, did they guarantee they're not going to charge collection fees or keep raising collection fees? We're collecting from the manufacturers, any limits on what anybody can charge us in the future?
Representative Saylor.
Mr. Chair and Representative Cornish, I think that the most important method for keeping counties from charging too much will be the voters of those counties. I do not know one single county commissioner that's very excited about raising fees anywhere. I've heard many of them would absolutely oppose that. I've heard many, many solid waste administrators needing to get more money to run the programs that they have to, you know, for the things that they have to deal with, begging their county commissioners for the authority to raise a solid waste fee, and oftentimes being turned down. The counties and solid waste administrators are not at all interested in making a bunch of money off of this program. They're really not. There is, to answer your question directly, there is not a provision that says to the counties, you will not rate, you know, have an end-of-life fee. And I believe that that was addressed fairly well by John Steiner, because he alluded very clearly to the fact that there are many different situations that come up within counties and cities depending on what type of a program that they have. However, it has certainly been my experience working with counties in solid waste and visiting with county commissioners and others that there's very little interest in raising solid waste fees or any other fees if they can possibly avoid it. So I hope that that answers your question.
And Mr. Johnson, if you'd welcome and if you'd state your name for the tape, please.
My name is Marshall Johnson, and I'm with Asset Recovery Corporation. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today, and I commend all of you for going after such an important bill to help Minnesota's environment. First, I just wanted to give a quick overview on Asset Recovery Corporation. We're a St. Paul-based recycler of used electronics. We're celebrating our 20-year anniversary this year, and in that time frame, we have recycled over 300 million pounds of used electronics. We have the contract with the state of Minnesota where we recycle electronics for government offices, several counties, and several cities. And I've been asked to provide an overview of the electronics recycling industry and then some key facts. First of all, it's estimated right now that there are over 800 million computers in the world that are currently in use. And the lifespan of computers continues to decline. Several years ago, a computer would last over 5 years. Computers that are being manufactured today with the advancement of technology increasing so rapidly, that continues to decline. The average cathode ray tube or a monitor that sits on everyone's desk, that has over 4 pounds of lead. And the larger TVs right now that are being turned in for recycling have over 8 pounds of lead. But the good news is that sound electronic recycling can help the environment and can help the economy. And I want to give you an example. The average desktop computer has over 2 pounds of copper, which is 100% recyclable. And if you were to mine 2 pounds of copper today, that would create over 620 pounds of waste rock. So electronic recycling is a win-win. You can keep these the hazardous waste out of our landfills, and we're really protecting our natural resources. In addition to the copper, electronic recyclers, they recycle a majority of the plastic, the aluminum, and the precious metals that are contained in this hazardous waste. With the current bill, I'd just like to highlight three industry's best practices. First of all, we recommend that you make it as easy as possible with this bill for consumers to drop off electronic waste. That is critical. Secondly, is that you ban the export of non-working electronics to third world countries for processing. And I want to highlight this in that right now in Minnesota it's taking place that electronics are being collected, they're being put into shipping containers, and they're being sent over to third world nations where they're being mined for their copper and other precious metals. And the thing that's very important with this is right now, and sitting in someone's garage in Minnesota in their basement, there's a TV, and that's not causing any hazardous waste to the environment. Once this hazardous waste starts coming into recyclers, and if it's disposed of properly, for example, in a third world nation, they burn the copper wires in order to access the copper. They use acid leaching in order to get the gold and other precious metals. All of this eventually, is because of our global climate, is going to come back to Minnesota. So I urge you that you look at the global picture when we're recycling electronics. And thirdly, and most importantly, is that you have the recyclers and the audit streams from these recyclers audited. And what I'm referring to here is when people are collecting used electronics, it's very important that they're adhering to the state and federal regulations to make sure that people that are collecting electronics aren't putting them in a large warehouse or that they aren't ending up in a landfill. And it's very important that the people that are processing this, the lead and other materials, to make sure they're audited properly. So in closing, I just want to say that the electronic recycling and infrastructure in Minnesota is in place right now to handle the amount of electronic waste that would be produced. And I want to thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today.
Well, thank you, Mr. Johnson. And there is one question. Representative Dill.
Thank you, Chair. You can welcome Mr. Johnson. Thank you for coming before us. So you talked about obsolescence of computers. and the fact that it would seem to, that the waste stream is going to accelerate in that part of the sector. How about when the digital technology is mandated for television sets? Is the industry prepared? Is there enough capacity in the industry to absorb that kind of a waste stream presently, or do you need to grow the industry to? I'm anticipating there's going to be a lot of people getting rid of a lot of TVs that don't work anymore.
Sure.
How is the industry prepared, not just asset recovery, but the industry in general prepared to deal with that problem?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Dill, the law goes, that ban goes into effect in 2009. We've already seen a large increase in cathode ray tubes because of the CRT ban that went into effect in 2006. But the industry is nervous about that, to be honest, overall. We don't know what the impact is going to be in Minnesota specifically. We're hoping that technology will advance where the existing CRTs can be adapted so they can adhere to high-definition television. But we don't. I don't have the answer to that question today. But given the time that it's 2009, it's not a major concern in order to ramp up the resources for that, given the time frame.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And next on the list is Ms. Laura Bishop. Welcome, Ms. Bishop. If you could state your name for the tape, please.
Hello, I'm Laura Bishop, and I'm with Best Buy Corporation. Thanks for having me today. I've also got some materials that will be distributed to the committee. Thank you very much. Best Buy has been active in the discussions on electronics recycling, and we have long supported the manufacturer responsibility approach, which you're considering today. Thank you very much for looking at this proposal, and thank you to Representative Saylor for bringing it forward today. Thank you also to Representative Osment for his work on this. You'll also be receiving the Council of State Governments resolution, which is being distributed. This supports a manufacturer, and you'll see it right here, manufacturer responsibility approach. And this is something that was adopted in November at the annual meeting of the Council of State Resolutions, and something that, or the Council of State Government, and something that Representative Osment was very instrumental in bringing forward to the Council of State Governments and having adopted there as a national approach on a state-by-state basis, obviously, but really looking at a regional approach and looking at this bill as a way to kind of bridge a regional effort in the Midwest and the Northeast so that companies like ours wouldn't necessarily have to go on a state-by-state, but we could look at this from a regional effort, and that's something that we really appreciate, and thank you to the committee, and thank you to Representative Osment for his leadership on this as well, and thank you to you, Representative Saylor, for your efforts in bringing this forward. We have really preferred the producer responsibility approach, and there's a couple different reasons why we prefer this producer responsibility approach. We are a manufacturer and we are a retailer. You look at Best Buy and you think we're a retailer, but we are also a manufacturer of televisions and DVD players. So when we think about this, we do not just think about this as a retailer. We think about this as a manufacturer. And as a manufacturer, we realize that we have a role to recycle and a role to create our products in a way, too, that we're looking at in a way through our manufacturing facilities that is safe, and in a way that we're creating these products in a way that is environmentally friendly as well. So when we look at this bill, we have looked at this from both as a retailer and a manufacturer. with our events that you've seen at our corporate headquarters and other things, and some of the events that we do nationwide, those are events that we plan to look to continue or help to facilitate promotional aspects with the counties. We did a couple different gift card programs where it kind of attracted people to come to some of the county-sponsored events or nonprofit-sponsored events, just to say, bring your CRTs or your recycling things to the county events or to the nonprofit events, and you get a $10 gift card, just as a promotional way to get people to bring their things. And those are events that we have found are ways to really get people to bring stuff back, and that's something that we think that is important to do as both a retailer and a manufacturer. We think that this bill really encourages also a greener design and encourages manufacturers to look at ways that, when we've seen manufacturers that have programs, they really kind of look at taking apart their products and looking at recycling their products, and we feel like when they are responsible for those products and can start their programs and have responsibility for those products, that they can also have create a greener product. We also think that market forces and competition can bring down the cost of recycling and can create a market that will make it more cost effective for the consumer, and we think that that's a good thing here. And when you incorporate it into the cost of the product, any way that you look at this, the consumer is going to pay, whether it's incorporating it into the cost of the product, end of life, or at point of sale. And if you incorporate it into the cost of product, that's the only way ultimately that you can bring that price down. And that's why we've supported the producer responsibility model in this way. In the end, we hope that you'll really consider this bill. We think that this is probably the model that can work here in Minnesota. When you look at producer responsibility models, there's multiple stakeholders here in the state that need to be considered. And, you know, there's different producer responsibility models to consider, but this is the one that we've looked at pretty closely with the different stakeholders here and think that this is probably the feasible one to move here in the state. And I'm happy to be here, so thank you very much for including me.
Thank you, Ms. Bishop. And we have next on the list Mr. Buzz Anderson, former member. Thanks for joining us, and please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Buzz Anderson. I'm president of the Minnesota Retailers Association, and you're right, I am a former member. I was privileged to serve with your dad, and who served with great distinction in this body.
Thank you.
And I cherish that time that I knew him and worked with him. First of all, let me say that Best Buy is a member of our association. We're very proud that they are, but they are not our only member. We have a lot of other members, both big and small, who support this approach to dealing with electronic waste. Having said that, I want to acknowledge that a lot of people have their fingerprints on this bill. Representative Osman, Representative Saylor, Representative Hackbarth, we had some spirited discussions with him last year, Representative Wikidis. A number of people have given us advice and counsel to get us to where we are today. And not only them, but also I must say that we've been very pleased to work in the coalition with the Swim Club, the Association of Minnesota Counties. We also acknowledge that, you know, Bobby Loffenhouse Research and Senate Council have also been very helpful as we've gone through so many different iterations of, you know, where we wanted to be. Our association does support this bill. We think that it has some really very good redeeming features. It recognizes that some retailers are manufacturers, and that because they, in fact, a self-branded product, that is, they put their label on the product as a result of that, they will pay the same fee that manufacturers do and have to share the same responsibility. We support that, and we think that is a good idea. But this bill also takes a manufacturer-producer's responsibility approach, and we think that's a friendlier approach to consumers as well. It also provides an incentive to rural Minnesota to encourage recycling programs in rural Minnesota. We think that's great. We also think that it encourages manufacturers to continue to build more environmentally friendly products. So we look forward to a quick passage of this bill, and we urge your support of this proposal. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Next on the list, we have Ms. Sarah Rummel. Welcome, Ms. Rummel. You please state your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Sarah Rummel. I represent Clean Water Action, and I'll be very brief. Clean Water Action, along with the League of Conservation Voters, Sierra Club, Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, and the Institute for Ag and Trade Policy, ask you to support this bill. This bill accomplishes two goals. The first is that it gets mountains of electronic waste out of the waste stream and into the hands of responsible recyclers. Electronic waste accounts for 70% of the heavy metals in our landfills. And when we passed and the ban last July went into effect on CRTs and landfills, we accomplished the first part of this goal. And this bill accomplishes the second part by actually getting that e-waste into the hands of responsible recyclers, as I just mentioned. The second goal is that it provides an incentive for manufacturers to start using smaller amounts of heavy metals in their products, and also to build their products for efficient end-of-life recycling. As you probably know, and as Mr. Johnson alluded to earlier, most CRTs contain between 4 and 8 pounds of lead, and televisions even more. And as you probably also know, lead, mercury, cadmium, and other heavy metals present in discarded electronics have been linked to neurological, among other health problems. So for these two reasons, we encourage you to support this bill, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Rummel. And next, we have Mr. Tim Mann. Mr. Mann here? Welcome, Mr. Mann.
My name is Tim Mann. I'm IBM's manager of product and product stewardship programs worldwide. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to come here today and share with you IBM's perspectives on HF 854 and provide our support for the bill. First, I think it's important that I say that as written, HF 854 has only minimal impacts on IBM. We don't sell video display devices to households. However, because of our past business, we do have an interest in ensuring that a workable electronic right recycling solution is put in place in Minnesota so that Minnesota can be successful in recycling electronics waste and we can put this issue behind us. As some of you may know, IBM supported advanced recycling fee legislation in Minnesota and elsewhere for the past 3 years. We continue to believe that the advanced recycling fee is the fairest and most sustainable solution for financing electronic take-back from consumers. However, we also recognize that Minnesota has not embraced this approach, and so we're here today to help with the current proposal under consideration. While not our preferred alternative, HF 854 does provide what we think is a reasonable framework for implementation and allocation of responsibilities among producers that doesn't unduly penalize established manufacturers and requires immediate participation by new market entrants. We also think that if the bill, if implemented in a reasonable manner, the Minnesota approach could serve as a model for other states or even a national recycling system. That's a good thing for IBM, particularly since some of the other proposals that have been implemented and are being proposed in other states have much more negative impacts on our business, our current business activities. All that being said, we do have some concerns about the bill's targets, coupled with the stringent penalties for manufacturers failing to meet their recycling targets. The bill's requirement that manufacturers collect, I guess it's now 0.8 pounds of product for every pound of product sold in Minnesota, would result in a statewide recycling target of nearly 40 million pounds. As Garth mentioned before, that's almost twice the projected 2008 Hennepin County recycled rate when projected across the county, and well over twice or probably closer to four times the current recycling rate within the state of Minnesota. We also have to recognize that Hennepin County is really what we would consider the Cadillac of recycling programs, with curbside collection and pickup in Minnesota and free recycling throughout the county. It's been developed over a decade and has been in place and operation for that long. It's really, in our minds, very questionable that manufacturers will be able to attain the Hennepin County rates in the first year of operation. Usually programs start off a little bit slower in the first year and then build over several years. To try to attain Hennepin County's rate in the first year, we think it's going to be very difficult. Based on our projections using the national sales data for video display devices, adjusted based on Minnesota's population, we think the 0.8 to 1 target would result in manufacturers having to pay an estimated $13 million in recycling premiums in 2008, and that's even after establishing programs and financing the collection of the products that are out there already and being collected today. So we think that's just not a reasonable target in our mind. We think a much more realistic but aggressive target would be somewhere around 0.25 to 0.3 pounds collected for every video device sold in Minnesota. We think that would come up with result in basically 12.2 to 15 million pounds being collected. That's not quite up to the current Hennepin County collection rates, but well over what is actually being collected in the state today. Further, rather than leaving the goal static, we think it should be adjusted on a year-to-year basis to reflect the true recycling rate attained in the previous year, along with a 5% increase to promote increased collection. Finally, we think the state should consider lowering the 50 cents per pound recycling premium for at least the first year until we have really a better understanding of what the real and attainable recycling rate is going to be in Minnesota. Beyond the concerns with the recycling targets, we also have a concern with some of the other requirements. We don't think it's appropriate to expect manufacturers of video display devices to be responsible for collection and recycling of other covered electronic devices such as personal computers, printers, fax machines, DVDs, and video cassette recorders. I realize that some people think that's actually a benefit to manufacturers, that it makes it easier for them to meet their collection target, but I think it's an unfortunate precedent of making one group of manufacturers responsible for the products that they don't sell or have never sold. As such, we're suggesting that the list of product types for which the which are covered be consistent with those product types for which responsibilities are allocated. You can either do that by limiting the list of covered electronic devices to video display devices, or you need to increase the number and the types of manufacturers who are responsible for actually collecting products. If you want to have personal computer products collected, then the personal computer manufacturer should be participating in the system. Okay. Some of our other concerns with the bill were on the EU, the European Union's maximum concentration values and ROS requirements, as well as some of the what we thought were extremely compressed registration deadlines, as well as some of the requirements for estimating and certifying sales. I think based on some of the amendments I heard, I think some of those may have been addressed. I just wanted to look at that, so we appreciate that. In closing, we're here to support the bill. We want to make that happen, and hopefully we can, you know, get some changes or some minor changes to correct some of the issues that I identified. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mann. And next on the list, we have a Ms. Heather Bowman. Welcome, Ms. Bowman.
My name is Heather Bowman. I'm with Hewlett-Packard. It's my pleasure to speak to you today regarding our concerns and our hopes for what can be a solution for Minnesota this year. In its current form, unfortunately, we're not able to support the bill. However, if there were some strategic amendments made, we would be excited to be supporting this option and this solution for Minnesota. As you heard from Tim Mann, we echo the concern that the goals that are established, the responsibilities that would be assigned to manufacturers under this bill would be incredibly aggressively high. So high, in fact, that we would not be able to meet our responsibility through recycling. And that is our major concern with the way the bill is written at this point. I'd like to start off my comments by just saying that HP is a leader in recycling. We've been doing it for over a decade, and we are about to reach our 1 billion pound goal of recycling electronics this year. It was an aggressive goal that was set in place a few years ago, and I can tell you my boss was very nervous about that being written down and people knowing that that was our goal. But this year, we are absolutely on target and will probably exceed that goal. So we have some experience. And I also just want to say that I actually work within the group that manages this. So I'm not coming to you as a government affairs person or, some corporate weenie. I'm coming to you from that's a very technical term. I'm coming to you as part of the Product Recycling Solutions Group for the Americas for HP. My group is actually in charge of the compliance and the public policy in charge of this for HP. And so I come to you with experience. I come to you with that experience of having run programs, having been at events, having understood how this impacts HP, how this impacts our consumers from a worldwide basis, because we work with our counterparts in Asia Pacific, in the European, we call it EMEA, but the European experience as well. So when I come to you saying that we have some concerns with this, it's because of that experience that we bring these concerns forward. At the heart of this, HP has long supported the concept of producer responsibility. We have worked in several states to help shepherd bills through different legislatures and get them passed, specifically in Maine and Washington, two of the states that have implemented producer responsibility here in the U.S. HP was supportive of those approaches. Those two approaches actually are both based on this concept of return share rather than sales, which is what this bill is based on. In California, it's a fee at point of sale, so that's a different approach. And Maryland has a completely different pilot project approach. So I just want to say, as Minnesota is trying to be a part of the national system, a producer responsibility bill based on producer responsibility would help with that cohesion, would help with that harmonization of a solution nationwide. Now, Tim went into a lot of the concerns with how the numbers right now are allocated in this legislation with the 0.8 and what the projections on sales are. When we look at this, the consumer behavior on sales, from their perspective on purchase, is different than their behavior on returns or on recycling. And that's one of the things that we've learned over the years, is that what they purchase and what they're ready to recycle, they don't really have a lot of correlations together. And so what we think is a better approach for this legislation is to base it on something that we call return share, basing it on what's actually coming into the system within the state, rather than basing it on the sales in the state. Because we want to create a solution. We want the solution to reflect what's really happening here in the state and what consumers are ready to recycle. we want to be here. And under either way this bill goes forward, HP will have major responsibilities under either way this goes forward. We are not proposing this to try to shirk any duties or to get out of any responsibilities. What we want and what our intention is in suggesting that return share is a more appropriate approach for Minnesota is to make sure that it's based on what's actually happening here and for us so that we can meet our responsibilities under this bill by actually running a robust recycling program. As you heard from the testimony, the way the bill is structured now, the industry would have somewhere between a $9 and a $13 million penalty, even if we recycle that aggressive goal of 21 million pounds. To us, that's not the right policy approach to this. We want to create a system. We want to be here creating options for consumers. We think that that's a good idea. I actually work within a supply chain organization. This is an extension of HP's supply chain. From the point that we design products to the point the consumer is ready to get rid of it, we want to be a part of it, and we want to offer our consumers the right thing to do. So I implore that we consider this approach as a return share approach, to base it on what's really happening here in Minnesota, and to make sure that the manufacturers who are standing ready to create a system to develop the opportunities for consumers can meet their obligations under this bill by actually running a recycling program that we are ready to do. Under the bill as it's currently written, we fear that we would not be able to collect enough products to meet our responsibilities, even with that robust program, because the consumers are just not going to return that many products. And we don't feel that we should be penalized for the consumers not returning enough program. And to us, a 50 cents per pound penalty is just that. It's a penalty. 50 cents a pound is higher than any recycling cost in the U.S. right now. Recycling costs are much lower than that, especially when you bring manufacturers into the fold. You heard from Laura Bishop that one of the benefits of having producer responsibility is to keep those costs to the consumer as low as possible. I absolutely 100% agree. Our ability to negotiate and contract with the people involved in this, with the collectors and the recyclers, we're probably in a better position than PCA is in to do those types of negotiations. We come at this from a business perspective, so we know that we can keep those costs lower than that 50 cents a pound. But we do see that 50 cents a pound as being a huge penalty to us, especially when our responsibility that's allocated to us is extraordinarily higher than anything that we might be able to even collect within the state. So again, I ask that idea, that this concept be incorporated into the proposal that's in front of you, and HP stands ready to support that proposal if that concept is included to instead of the sales approach. We think it's a better approach. We think it's an approach that will work for Minnesota. And under either approach, the counties would not be saddled with this burden. Under either approach, it's a manufacturer responsibility approach. And under either approach, HP is ready to make it happen. However, we think that we can make it happen in a much better way if you base it on what's really happening here in the state. So I thank you for letting me testify, and I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Ms. Bowman. There is one other person who would like to testify, Mr. Rick Erdheim.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, Mr. Erdheim.
I always like being the last person. Always creates an incentive to get done quickly. My name is Rick Erdheim. I'm senior counsel for Philips Electronics. Philips Electronics is one of the largest consumer electronics companies in the world. And I'm here on behalf of myself and 13 other of the largest electronics companies. We have participated. You've heard about all of the discussions. We've participated in all of the discussions. We've worked very hard to try to get an effective national recycling program. We support the recycling of these products. We're not interested in seeing them thrown out. And we'd like to support a bill, but at this time we cannot support the approach in this bill in its current form for two basic reasons. First, this bill is not based on a concept of shared responsibility. That's a concept that's been accepted widely This bill places the entire burden on manufacturers, and in addition, as has been alluded to before, it would now require manufacturers of televisions such as my as our company to collect products that we don't make and have never made to achieve recycling targets. And second, we think the goal of this bill should be to encourage environmental design, improved environmental design of the products. We don't think that it does that, and in fact, we think it actually discourages environmental design. I want to use some of the things my company has done as an example of the sorts of things that manufacturers are attempting to do to make better products. And let me just run through a quick list of five things. First, in 1998, well before there was a lot of talk about some of these substances and getting them out of products, Philips created a list of substances that would be banned unless the people who wanted to use the product went to a corporate level a board that had to specifically approve the use of the material. Mercury and 39 other substances, and we've now significantly expanded that list. You can't use that product, that material, in a product unless you go before the board and justify that there is no alternative available to using that. We have been listed for three of the last 4 years as the leader in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index leisure goods sector. The 1 year we weren't first, we were second. We've been recognized by the World Economic Forum for the last 3 years, which has run a global 100 list, a list of the 100 most sustainable companies in the world. Philips has been on the list every year. We were the first computer monitor company to offer a full line of lead-free computer monitors. And we not only are in the computer, we're not in the computer business, in the electronics business, the TV business. We're also in the lamp business. We're the world's largest lighting company. Hopefully the lights in here are made by Philips Lighting. And as you probably know, those lights contain mercury. They're used because they're the most energy efficient, much more energy efficient than incandescent bulbs. But they do use mercury, and that's a concern. So we have led the effort. Our lamps have the lowest amount of mercury in all of the lights that are produced in the United States. And just last year, we announced a further 50% reduction in the amount of mercury in all the 4-foot and 8-foot linear fluorescent lamps. That's a reduction of 720 pounds of mercury. And what that means, to put that in some real context, we can make 90 million lamps with 720 pounds of mercury. So in essence, we're recycling, by that one action, 90 million lamps. Million. There's about 700 million lamps that are sold. So by that one action, we're effectively reducing the mercury used by the in the manufacture of these products by 13%. We think legislation should encourage these sorts of actions. I mean, we're doing lots of things, but a lot of our competitors aren't doing these sorts of things, and we think we want to set up a system that encourages that. We don't think this bill does it. There's no incentive for product design. Everything has to be recycled, and manufacturers have to pay the cost. It doesn't make a difference whether I make a great product or make a bad product. I have the same cost the same way. And we actually think it discourages companies like ours, which are doing things which we think you want to do, want us to do, because by imposing costs on us that are going to be difficult to recover in the marketplace because of price competition. Let me briefly mention the subsidy issue. IBM has raised this concern, and I think Heather from HP just raised the concern. We have data from a number of collection programs that show pretty consistently that 30% of the sales in any jurisdiction is what comes back. In terms of televisions, 30% of the sales, and you've heard that referred to before. So we don't understand how there can be a 1-for-1 or even a 0.8-for-1 basis if we know that for every 3 TVs that are sold, 1 is coming back in the system. So to achieve this ratio, we have a ratio that we can't achieve, and now we're told, well, you can go out and go collect other products. Go collect scanners, go collect cell phones, go collect printers. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, we don't make those products. What is the fairness in having us collect products that we've never made? And so we think that's a major flaw in the bill. We want. Let me mention one other thing very briefly, because there's been a lot of talk about it. The analog, the transition to digital TV. There's a lot of concern that's been expressed that somehow that's going to lead to a wave of televisions. We are in the industry, all of the industry, are very confident that that's not going to happen for three reasons. First, television starting a couple of years ago phased in, and as of actually next week, all televisions will have digital tuners, so you'll be able to get with any new TV digital signals. Second, 88% of the households in the United States already get their television through cable or satellite. And cable and satellite companies will automatically convert the digital signal to an analog signal, so the analog TVs will continue to work. And third, for those people who don't use cable or satellite, when Congress passed the digital transition, the reason they did this was to make a lot of money. They're going to sell the spectrum that's used for analog TVs, and they're going to collect anywhere from $10 to $25 billion. And so what they did to help with that was they set aside $1 billion to $1.5 billion, which is going to be used to subsidize people to have set-top boxes, which will be used to allow conversion from digital to analog sets. So quite frankly, we don't see the likelihood that there's going to be this huge transition, this huge increase in television sets. So we want to continue to work with you. We want to have a bill. But we think it needs to be a bill that's based on shared responsibility and that doesn't discourage environmental design. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Erdheim. Is there anyone else who would like to testify? Anyone from the audience? Seeing none, are there any questions? Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if this is for the author or one of the experts, but going back to my earlier questions regarding the Hennepin County numbers and the numbers from the PCA, I mean, we're looking at a projected 21 million pounds collected in 2008 and 49 million pounds sold in 2004. I wonder if it's possible to look at 2004 numbers collected or look at 2008 numbers projected of units sold. And I, echoing a couple of our last testifiers, I just don't know if the numbers add up. I don't know if we're going to be able to recycle anywhere near, you know, 80% of what is sold. And if we can't, is there a reason for that? I mean, are we setting this up to fail, or are we setting this up to take more money in? Is there another purpose for that money? I mean, I've got a lot of questions about this, but we got all night.
Any?
Don't we?
Anybody that can respond?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hoppe, I would like to ask Garth Hickel to come and speak to that.
Mr. Hickel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hoppe, as I attempted to clarify earlier that what you're asking, unfortunately, is an extremely difficult question to answer definitively. As I said, the best data that we have is from 2004. However, with the rapid change of technology, that those numbers may or may not hold true for today. And just to give you one quick example, so for instance, CRT is the older televisions represented 78% of the market in 2004, but by 2006 that had already declined to 54%. So that without doing some more projections for what we see for 2007 or even 2008, it's really difficult for us to be able to weigh in definitively about what that proportion should be.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. And maybe let me ask the question of the author then. I mean, we heard about the Hennepin County program, which is the Cadillac of recycling, and they're only taking in one-third, 30% of the units sold. Is it reasonable for us to expect to take in 80% of the units sold on a statewide basis?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hoppe, thank you for that question. I think one thing that we need to make very, very clear, and that is from the experience of the solid waste folks around the county with not only this particular product and this particular component of the waste stream, but with other things such as household hazardous waste, for instance. I bring that up just as sort of an analogy to this because that's part of the waste stream we dealt with very successfully in this state. And I know initially when that began, people were very concerned that, you know, we would collect everything all at once and then it would go away and we wouldn't even need to have the program anymore. How many years after its inception? 10? At least 10 years after the inception of that program, we are still continually seeing the paint and those types of products. And the reason I bring that up is just to say that we think something's going to go away. The experience in that part of the waste stream says no. Additionally, counties throughout the state have been a little bit reluctant, shall we say, to encourage residents to bring things in. And I think that would be true of just about whether you have a Cadillac County or a one-horse county, because we did not have this piece in place for dealing with the waste stream. Many counties knew that they were going to be putting out a great deal of money if they ended up advertising for this particular type of waste, for the electronic devices. And so they haven't really been promoting it at any rate. I would just like to encourage people to think a little bit about their own garages, basements, spare bedrooms. Almost anyone that you have the conversation with kind of has this little look in their eyes of, oh yeah, I have three of those and 14 of these. We do have quite a pent-up amount of this material. And part of the reason we have a pent-up amount is not just because there was not a program, but because so many of these things were still good when they were put out there. You know, you put it out there because it worked, but the technology has gone well beyond that particular computer at this point, and so even though it worked when you put it out there, nobody's going to come in and plug in the 386 anymore. But these things have still been out there, and we know that there is a great deal of this waste out there waiting to come in, and part of the reason also that we have built in this flexibility into this bill of having the agency review annually to make sure that we are on target, because it's never the intention of this bill. It wasn't the intention when it first started from the task force recommendations and the folks that have worked on it so conscientiously all these years to have manufacturers have an inordinate amount of responsibility. I think this also is a time to mention that counties and cities, the local governments, are always at the tail end of this, and they always get all the stuff. And that will continue. We want to make sure that initially, in these first few years, while we're going to be dealing with this backlog, that there will be sufficient resource to deal with that. And that's why we have approached it in this direction. But I think that we'll find that we have adequate amounts, and there may be another person, Trudy, wants to make some comment as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Trudy Richter. I'm here on behalf of the Solid Waste Management Coordinating Board. One of the simplistic ways we think about it is that it's not really one unit and you have to recycle one. Remember, we're turning this into pounds. And so the current unit may only weigh 40 pounds. In fact, you've seen those ads of a woman carrying out a flat screen. But what's being recycled might be a 200-pound console TV. So the manufacturer is getting credit for five times what their sale poundage was by recycling that console TV. And then you times it by 1.5 if you're in greater Minnesota. And you can understand why we're hesitant as counties to modify the 0.8, because we're dealing with a discard that is far weightier than the current products that are being sold. And that's why it's such a complex issue.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Richter. And Representative Hoppe?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Richter, according to the Council of State Governments, by weight in Hennepin County, the Cadillac of programs, they're taking in 30% of, by weight, what was sold the year before. And I think we need to do this. I think it's a good program. I just don't know how we're going to be able to come up with, by weight, 80% when the Cadillac program right now is getting 30. And I understand there's a backlog and there's going to be lines of people waiting to get rid of the stuff from their basement. I just don't know if this is realistic. And one more thing, when we talk about the counties being the tail end, the counties are not the tail end of this. Ultimately, this is the consumers. It's all of us. It's the people that are, I mean, the companies aren't absorbing this cost. They're passing along to all of us. And I agree that we need to do it. It's important. But, I mean, is this realistic? Is 80% something we can hit? Is anyone else doing this in the country?
Anyway. Mr. Chair. Representative Gardner, did you have a question to this issue? Or in response? Representative Wagenius?
I'm looking around the table, and I think I'm the only one in the Cadillac County.
We share Hennepin County, Representative Wagenius. I don't have any voters, but I have a little part of the county.
And I was earlier thinking that Representative Saylor had been in my basement.
Nope.
Because there hasn't been, Hennepin County may have a great program, but I have stuff in my basement that will go to this program that's been sitting there for years just because it hasn't been advertised that much. I doubt if a lot of people know about it.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if Mr. Johnson from Asset Recovery is still here. Would he be willing to come down? I have a couple questions for you. I think they're relatively simple. And Mr. Johnson, I'm curious, is your company a small business, for-profit company in the recycling business?
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes, we are for-profit based in St. Paul.
And could I ask you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Johnson, you made reference to being in the recycling business for 20 years. I'm going to try and simplify this. How many employees have you had on an average over the 20 years?
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I don't know over the 20 years. Right now, we currently have 60 full-time and 25 part-time employees.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Chair and Mr. Johnson, you made reference to 300 million pounds were recycled. Was that of what kind of waste, 300 million pounds?
This is various type of electronics. The company started out recycling mainframe computers, and the weight of a mainframe computer back then that had the processing capability of probably a calculator 20 years ago is significant. So we've seen the size and the processing power reduced significantly.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair and Mr. Johnson, what would you say today if we were to offer you a deal to get 50 cents a pound to recycle CRTs? Is that what they're called, CRTs, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just curious. There was mention made that, I'm curious, you're in the for-profit business. If I was going to tell you we'd pay you 50 cents a pound, what would be your thoughts?
Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is a competitive rate. Very, extremely competitive. Okay. It's extremely competitive rate.
You bring that home from here, you're getting a big bonus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Johnson, I actually want to know, and if you don't want to tell me, I understand. I was a small business person for 30 years and don't like telling people just how much money I make. But if I understand by the look on your face and by the reaction of some of the other folks, you'd love to get 50 cents, and this bill says that we will pay 50 cents if I understand it. So would I be right to say that we may be overpaying if we pay 50 cents today?
Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Representative, I don't understand every dynamic of the latest amendment to the bill, but the way that I understand it, if you could correct me, Representative, is that this is a fee that the producers would be charged if they are not able to collect the 0.8 per pound percentage. So that is not what the recycler would be charged, that would able to charge. So if a major manufacturer sells 1 million pounds, they'd be required to have 800,000 pounds recycled. They would not come to the recycler and say, you're going to get 50 cents a pound. I want to briefly talk about California, and that the way that fee structure is arranged is the collectors of material are collecting 20 cents a pound, and the recyclers are receiving 28 cents a pound in order to process that material for a total of 48 cents a pound. And that model has, and there's represent folks here from other states, that has significantly increased the amount of electronics that are being collected throughout the state. But I don't think I can answer your question specifically, because the way that I've seen the bill, and I don't know, again, the latest amendment, that the recycler would not be able to charge 50 cents. Is that correct?
Yeah. Representative Saylor?
Yes, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, I would, and Representative McNamara, I would also just like to mention that what we're asking the manufacturers to do is to be sure that they take in, you know, the percentage. So they can certainly make contracts at less than that. We just want to make sure that the material is not going to end up in the counties and in the cities, the local governments. And if they can make agreements for less than that and get rid of it ahead of time, you know, that's fine. We're just making sure that's kind of the fail-safe end of it. And if you have further questions on that, perhaps John Steiner would be able to mention a little bit about that as well. He has some, if you have further questions about that.
One more point, Mr. Chair and Representative Saylor. Maybe I don't understand this and I'm missing the boat here, but I thought we're going to charge them 50 cents if they don't meet the goal. And if 50 cents isn't the going rate, why would we be charging them that? That was what my point was. Isn't that what we're going to do? We're going to charge them 50 cents. I think Representative Hoppe, and like Representative Hoppe, this is a great deal. We got to get this resolved one way or another. But we want these folks to still be doing business in Minnesota. And I just, am I misunderstanding? Aren't we going to charge them 50 cents if they don't bring enough in? And I want to know if 50 cents is the right rate. That's my concern.
Well, one thing, just a comment, I think it was an important point that you'd brought out, Representative Saylor. This is the intent of the bill is not to collect the 50 cents. It's to get the e-waste collected and disposed of and recycled in an environmentally friendly way. And so the danger of having a fee that's too low is that people are just going to opt out of collecting the e-waste and pay the fee instead. But any other comments?
No, that basically, Mr. Chair, that basically takes care of that.
Okay. And Representative Osmond, please point. Okay, go ahead.
To Representative McNamara's point, the reason for having a high fee at that spot in the bill is to discourage people from getting themselves in a situation where they would even need to deal with that 50 cents. This bill is actually designed to encourage the free market system to work in to meet the needs of disposal of these devices and keep them out of ditches and keep them out of landfills. And if what we're trying to do is encourage the manufacturers to come into contractual agreements with recyclers, counties, whomever is going to actually collect these devices and put them through a recycling process, to do that in a competitive fashion, and those that can actually recycle for the lowest cost would then be able to actually have a marketable element that they can put on out there for other manufacturers to take advantage of. For example, if I can figure out how to really recycle these things for 20 cents a pound, then the more I can collect and the more I can recycle at 20 cents a pound means the more I can offer those credits to the other manufacturers that are not able to recycle at that time, or maybe don't want to recycle at all, but they'll buy those credits from me. And it actually makes it where recyclers would then be encouraged to go out and try and encourage, get people to recycle their devices, get them out of the garages, get them out of the basements. Let's go ahead and handle these things appropriately, because the more I can do that, the more credits I have to put on the market for somebody to buy them. It's kind of like a pollution credit type program. And it actually is creating a market for this waste material that some people have so little regard for our environment, they just as soon throw it in our out in our ditches and our wetlands. And so we're saying, no, it should have some value for us from a recycling standpoint. Let's give it some value, and let's make sure that people are doing it. But manufacturers, if you don't want to participate, we'll give you an out. All you got to do is then pay the 50 cents. We'll take that 50 cents, and we actually, that's where you get some of those dollars that you need to pay the difference in cost, possibly, for outstate, you know, transportation, things like that. But what we don't want to do is end up with another governmental program where the government is collecting the money, the government is contracting with the recyclers, the government is doing all we end up with huge bureaucracies, and we don't need that. What we want to do is have recycling occur, keep them out of the landfills, keep them out of the ditches, get the manufacturers talking to the recyclers, and give some place for people to take these devices and handle them appropriately. That's what the program is trying to do, and that 50 cents is a discouragement to not doing anything. You're better off participating and getting going on this thing.
Thank you, Representative Osment and Representative Cornish.
Would it be possible to have Ms. Bowman come down for just a second? I noticed that when we were given that description of what you actually got credit for, like five times what you were having kind of a reaction back there, and then a couple other things, and I wanted to offer you a chance for a rebuttal on that because I was confused too.
Ms. Bowman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative. My reactions, and I apologize for wearing my emotions on my face, but my reaction to that is that we will never be able to participate in that free market selling of credits and that kind of thing, as Representative Osment was referring to, unless we can actually meet our recycling obligation, that allocation of responsibility by running a recycling program. Even if I can figure out a way to convince someone to do my recycling for me at 20 cents a pound, if there's not enough product out there that consumers are ready to give me to recycle, I'm never going to reach my obligation. And unless I reach my obligation, I don't get any credits. So I think that that's an interesting idea, to be able to let the market work in that way. But you have to allocate the responsibility to the manufacturers in a way that will allow for that to happen. I mean, if you set it so high no one can reach it, then that's a discouragement in itself. We know right now that consumers are not ready to do this. Representative Saylor, you described a lot of consumer behavior that's going on right now. Just because HP or IBM or Philips offers a program doesn't mean they're going to change that consumer behavior. Representative, you know, you have curbside collection, and it's been around for a while, and yours are still in the basement. I don't know why. And I don't know how you encourage someone to do that in a different way. I mean, that's pretty easy. We've heard from a lot of people that is the Cadillac of services here. And we are going to do our best to encourage consumers to do these things. We've run events here. We've partnered with Best Buy to run events in Minnesota. We want to make this work. And we really hope that we're given that opportunity to meet our responsibility through recycling programs and to offer the best services we can and advertise them and encourage the consumers to bring things back. Right now, the way the bill is structured, those allocations are just too high for us to take advantage of the idea of the credits and selling them and that kind of thing. Thank you for the opportunity to respond.
Thank you, Ms. Bowman. Representative Wilgenius.
Since my name was brought up, Hennepin County does not have a great deal of incentive to get everything out of my basement because it would just cost an arm and a leg. So we need I think Representative Osment said it so well. Hennepin County may have a Cadillac program, but they don't have a Cadillac advertising, and that's the difference.
Representative Osment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to that point, members, you need to recognize that Hennepin County is doing the recycling because they have an incineration process, and they need to keep the electronics out of their incinerator because it puts bad things up through the stack. So if you're storing it in your basement, it doesn't get to the incinerator, and that's their concern. Their concern is when you're ready to take it out of your basement, that they will, there will be a recycling program so that you don't put it in the incinerator, because that causes them pollution problems, and then they get penalties. So it is, they aren't encouraging any more than they have to, because they want to just keep them out of the incinerator, not necessarily where they're stored. What we're talking about here is that the incentive that we have to the manufacturers is that to go ahead and get some contractual arrangements with recyclers and others in the state of Minnesota to start collecting these devices and get them recycled, because it's in your financial best interest to do that in order to be selling these in the market. Because the more you can recycle, the more credits you have. If you have more credits than you actually sold, you can sell them those credits to other manufacturers. You can, it actually is an incentive to try and go for recycling and to get people to encourage recycling to occur, to happen. It's not just the goodwill or a great program, which brings me to a question I have for Ms. Bowman. Ms. Bowman, I understand, and I believe it was your organization last year that was talking or encouraging us to have some patience and allow for the manufacturers to have a voluntary program in the state of Minnesota. Am I wrong, or were you not involved with that? I know that there are people here, I'm sure, that were, but were you involved with that involuntary program proposal?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Osment, when faced with this bill last year, we didn't feel that our concerns, well, honestly, when this was put on the table, we were considering whether or not this was something that we could support, because we do and have a long-standing position in support of producer responsibility. Last year, when we were faced with this bill, and when I talked to our people back in the business about whether or not we could support it, they said, in the current form, you can't support it because of this issue that I'm bringing up, that you won't be able to actually meet your responsibility through recycling. That's our intention in making this happen. Last year, we were encouraging, and one of the reasons why we encouraged you to say, let us work this out and let us, you know, mandate us to do something. Say, you know, we wanted you to say, do something, but just not put these huge allocations on us. When faced with the alternative, we said, well, we can support that. If you make all the manufacturers do something, that's at least a step in the right direction. It was not a comprehensive bill. HP has had a comprehensive bill based on return share, a model bill that we have available for the last 5 years. HP supports a comprehensive approach to producer responsibility. So, yes, last year we were asking you to have patience with us and to mandate that all manufacturers do something, but just not do the detail that was in this bill, because we were not ready to understand what the implications were because of the timing of that bill last year. And we also felt that we weren't ready to understand what it meant to us internally. Over the summer, over lots of other discussions, we had a chance to understand more and more what this option meant to us. We were able to look at some of the numbers involved. We were able to look at the efforts in California with a fully funded tax program, where they're advertising, there's billboards, there's radio announcements. They have a 1.3 pound per person collection right now. They're not doing as well as Hennepin County. And that's they advertise, they do all of these things. So I'm not sure if the residents of California, including myself at this point, are just lazier than the residents of Hennepin County and they're just not doing it. But there's certainly a lot of incentives involved in that program. So my point is, yes, last year we were saying, mandate that we do something, just don't put all these parameters on it. And the reason why we did that last year was because we are interested in making something happen here in Minnesota. I want to be here next year implementing a program instead of talking about legislation. I want something to happen. But to be able to make something happen, we need to have reasonable goals and we need to have reasonable allocations of responsibilities. So that's kind of, to explain, Representative Osment, where we were last year. It was an unfortunate position for us because we do support producer responsibility and a comprehensive approach to addressing this problem.
Representative Gardner has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would call these maybe concluding comments. I think one reason that this bill has not moved as far as ahead as it probably will be this year is in part because of the desire of stakeholders to seek thoughtful input from manufacturers, retailers, haulers, cities and counties, and certainly hats off to Representative Osmond and former Representative Cox and county commissioners and others who have advanced this issue. But the thing where we always get locked up year after year, and I follow this professionally, is industry is not of one mind. And a lot of people have tried really, really hard to aim perfectly at the target we want to reach, to do this in the most efficient, effective way. And to be quite honest, the stakeholders have aimed, we've aimed long enough, and now we need to pull a trigger, if I could use a phrase that Representative Cornish might like. he was smiling, so I'll take it well. I think there's a genuine desire to tweak things as we move along. We certainly have been told that the private sector can do things more efficiently than government year after year, and we believe that. So we didn't want to create a large, burdensome advanced recovery fee proposal, for example. We wanted to allow industry to innovate, as Representative Osmond alluded to. I also wanted to say to the manufacturers, too, if you think that the PCA is going to be this monolithic, unfeeling enforcement hammer, if we don't reach the right number of pounds, I would just say we should be so lucky. We had an environmental finance meeting this morning talking about landfill leakage and whether the PCA is doing their jobs. I mean, we in government know what government's limits are, so I'm not sure we should fear this this monster of government cracking down if we don't get just the right number of pounds. I think there is definitely a desire by the author and others to make this work and collaborate with people to make it work. So, Mr. Chair, I was just going to suggest that we conclude and vote.
Thank you, Representative Gardner.
Mr. Chair, if I could just make one comment. Representative Osmond. It's ironic to me that I'm hearing that I was asked last year to establish a mandatory voluntary program. I never heard that. I heard that they wanted to establish their voluntary collection during a period of time to show us and demonstrate to us that the manufacturers could do recycling without government telling them to do it and setting up a program. And if I'm wrong, I'd like to have a testifier come up and tell me I'm wrong. But I don't remember anyone telling me that they wanted to have a mandatory program of voluntary collection established for manufacturers. I do not recall that. So I would encourage members to take for what do you think it's worth the testimony and complaints of the manufacturers, and also take a look at the work that you have seen before you that I think can literally address this problem. It actually has a year delay. I believe it's still part of the program.
Correct.
And so that we're collecting data, and anything that is put forward other than the registration fee would be based upon realities, the actual collection or sales numbers. And we've spent a lot of time putting out all their jumping all the little hurdles that we've had over the past years. Every time we find another hurdle that we can leap over, they find another one to put in our place. I personally am frustrated by it. I would just like to see us move forward.
Thank you, Representative Osmond. Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, you know, this bill was given to us last year, Representative Osmond. You brought this forward, and we had a number of problems with it. Nothing got passed last year. There are other ways to handle this issue. There were other bills out there last year that could have handled this issue, which I feel in a much better way, and not with advanced recovery fees. I would have a question for Representative Saylor. Can you tell me how many committees you might think this has to go to? Specifically, do you think the bill has to go to the Tax Committee?
Representative Saylor.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hackbarth, I have heard no discussions about it going to the Tax Committee. It will need to go to the Environmental Policy and the Finance Committee, and possibly to Who else had asked for that?
There I was think one. It was directed to the Commerce Committee. Is that correct, right. Mr.
That is correct.
I believe so, yeah. Those are the only committees that I'm aware of that have asked to see that.
Okay, I would recommend, Mr. Chairman, that...
Representative Hackbarth, Public Safety also.
Okay, and I would recommend that this bill will have to go to the Tax Committee with the fees that are in this bill. And is it the Department of Revenue? Who's going to oversee the... Is it the Department of Revenue? Representative Saylor?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hackbarth, that's correct.
Okay. I would certainly recommend that the Tax Committee would probably have to see this bill. Representative Gardner, in this bill, we're talking about having the manufacturers the retailers having to look at a website that states whether some of these manufacturers are out of compliance. So I think the MPCA is going to have to do some kind of work on this to at least update their website as to whether these retailers should be buying from these manufacturers if they're not in compliance or if they should or if they shouldn't. Members, I would contend that this bill is a manufacturer's punishment bill. This is not a recycling bill. It's something set out to punish the manufacturers and ultimately to punish the consumers, apparently for not recycling. Maybe that's what Representative Wagenius is referring to when we're talking about let's get these things out of our basements and get them out on the curb or get them to the manufacturers or the retailers or whoever's going to collect these things so I don't get punished. Because what's ultimately going to happen is the manufacturer is going to increase the price of their products. Should this thing go forward and this passes in this form, I don't know. I think this is going to help us get back in the majority, Mr. Chairman. I think the consumers out there are going to practically revolt over this thing. I mean, this is really something, Mr. Chairman. I think that with this having to collect 80% of what's sold is an impossible task. And this is something that's going to cost the manufacturers an enormous amount of money, and that's going to have to be passed along to the consumers. I think it's these are figures that are picked out of the air. We're looking at a program in Hennepin County where they're currently collecting not quite even 30%. With all you have to do is put it on the curb, and it's collected. And that's not collecting 80%. I think this is unrealistic expectations in this bill. And we're in the exact same spot that we were last year when we looked at this bill. And there's other ways of doing this without being so punitive, and it would actually get the job done of recycling. And I would recommend that we vote no on the bill.
Thank you, Representative Hackbarth. Are there any other comments or questions? Well, I think it's the Representative Osmond.
I'd encourage you to vote yes for the protection of the environment, for protection of the will of the state of Minnesota that likes to protect the environment.
Thank you, Representative Osmond. Any other comments, questions? Well, I think it's been a very...
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that you come right after me when you say that, Representative Osmond, but so I hope it's not directed at me saying that I am not in support of protecting the environment, because I am. And all I'm saying is there's other ways of doing this, still protecting the environment, still having a collection system, still getting these things recycled without being so punitive to the manufacturer.
Any other comments?
Mr. Chair.
It's been Representative Saylor. You want to make final comments?
I would really like to make a concluding statement. I think we would all like to have the concluding statement. That is, I believe that this is a good bill, and it's a bill whose time has come. The people of Minnesota, the counties, everybody. In fact, when we started having these discussions, every stakeholder group that came to visit with me or anyone else, I think when the term e-waste came up, a sort of glazed look came over their eyes, and everyone's thinking, let's finish this year. I think we need to keep in mind, as some remarks I think Representative Gardner had said, you know, looking at it's time to get moving. No bill is entirely perfect, and I am pleased that we do have the review process in this bill so that the agency will be reviewing to make sure that as we go forward, the process is fair. We need to deal with this. We need to move ahead. 5 years is more than enough of dealing with this particular situation. And I think we're ready to move ahead. The state of Minnesota wants it. The basements and all those other areas that are full of this equipment are ready to have this. I would like to thank the manufacturers, the retailers, and certainly the task force members from past years that worked so hard to put together the basis of this bill. As I say, it is a good bill. It's time to move ahead with this. And I think that, you know, we can keep coming up with new things to delay it one way or another, but we need to finish with this year. And so I would ask for members to vote yes on this bill to move it ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Saylor. And would you like to renew your motion?
I would.
Representative Saylor renews her motion that House File 854 be recommended as amended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Commerce and Labor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Bill is passed. So thank you. It was a very thoughtful discussion tonight. So we will adjourn until next meeting.